Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Path to Self-Sovereignty. Today, we're with David Whitehead, one half of Unslaved, and he's got his own channel on YouTube called Truth Warrior. Highly recommended for everybody. David, thanks a lot for coming on.
Hey, Alex. How you doing, man? Thanks. Good to talk to you again.
Pleasure to have you, mate, honestly. Could you do a bit of an introduction to yourself, your history, your background?
Yeah, this is the interesting part. Where do I begin? My elevator pitch is pretty long, but I'll try to keep it short. You know what it is? Let's just put it like this. I didn't have a normal upbringing. I didn't have a normal education. Haven't had much of a normal life. So I'm not very normal. So we'll just leave that aside. And then from there, I would say I grew up training martial arts. That was sort of my number one passion. It became my career. I've taught martial arts and fitness and nutrition and all that for many, many years. My wife and I was about to say we have a business, but not anymore. It all got shut down not that long ago. But I still obviously try to do what I can to teach my classes online and do all that. But I grew up in the martial arts. I also grew up just with a deep desire to learn about who I am, what kind of world I'm living in. I wanted to learn about history, philosophy, and so many other subjects. So I've just dedicated my life to trying to find the people that know the answers to some very complex questions, or at least have taken a good crack at it. And I've had the opportunity to work with some of the, I feel like some of the brightest minds in a variety of different fields. And so what I do is I've taken all this information that I've compiled just as my own personal thing. It was sort of a hobby. It was my vocation. And then I eventually branched out and started my own podcasts and interviewing people and, you know, doing all these different projects and speaking events. And then eventually all that led into doing some television work and some other things as well. And now that is really the only thing I've got left right now is my online business. And I make a business talking about some of these subjects and creating very unique digital content online for people. Most of it I put out for free, but some of it we do have behind a paywall over at Unslaved, which we reserve those are the special goodies, you know, and we've got some amazing content there at unslaved.com. I also do so that's my podcast project with my, one of my mentors and a good friend of mine, and also my colleague, Michael Tessarian, who I've worked with for many years. And he's just as I'm sure if you've ever heard any of his stuff, he's a vast archive of knowledge. It's as if he's come from a time machine to warn us in many ways. But, and I've also had some interesting, I've done interesting work with a lot of amazing people as well. And I also do my own podcast called Way of the Truth Warrior, which you can find on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Twitter, all that kind of stuff. And then I have my Patreon page where I teach martial art lessons for people at home and give all kinds of other goodies over there. So what else? I'm a father. I'm a person who loves freedom. And I have now recently started to get a green thumb and begin learning about gardening and fishing. Oh, wow. And trapping and hunting and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, other than that, I'm just an ordinary guy pursuing extraordinary knowledge, my friend.
That was a beautiful introduction. How did you say you had a different upbringing. How did you, I don't like to use the word conspiracy or anything like that. It's got a lot of dogma wrapped around it. But how did you like go into that line of work, as it were?
It's a good question. It wasn't anything I consciously decided to do. I suppose I've always looked at the world a little bit differently because of my upbringing. Like I didn't go to traditional education. My parents, my mother had a lot of health issues growing up, and she wanted to have more time with us. And so, my parents pulled us out of school at a very young age, and we did a lot of homeschooling, which eventually turned into self-schooling because, you know, my mother wasn't always able to do what she wished she could have done. My father was working full time. So we were taking online courses and doing interactive stuff. This was back in the day. It's gotten much better now. But I wasn't traditionally educated. And then I got into the workforce very young. started working different jobs, meeting some interesting people. And there was a time where I was working for City Financial. And anybody that gets into the banking world will know where Citi stands in that whole echelon. And there was some interesting things that I saw behind the scenes, just on a local level of, you know, how much interest they would charge people that couldn't afford it, how many things they would do to manipulate numbers so that they could give money away, which is just debt-based money, to people that couldn't afford it. And I just saw this sort of like cheating behind the scenes kind of stuff happening just on a local branch level of this organization. And it just rubbed me the wrong way. And I just had a conscience and I was like, I can't do this to people. They started sending me to people's houses for collection. I started feeling like I was working for a gang or something. And I just said, I can't do this. And so I took the big risk. And I did work for another company for a while, but then I opened my own business and got into becoming an entrepreneur. And then I started interacting with people that were, you know, very successful entrepreneurs, worked in different fields. And it was one of those things where when you make big changes in your life, you meet new people. And if you believe in the law of synchronicity, which I do, you'll realize that if you're on an honest path and you are genuinely wanting to know something, opportunities start opening up. Books start falling off the shelf at the library. People start walking into your life and information starts to show up that you otherwise may not have paid attention to. And that's how it happened for me. So it wasn't just like one moment. It was a series of events that put me in the frame of mind where I'm like, hey, if some of this weird backdoor deals and underground secret handshaking stuff and criminal activity and illegal activity is going on in prestigious institutions, just even on the lower level of society, you can't help but think, well, could it be happening on the bigger levels and even the levels of the organizations, institutions that control and run the world? I mean, because you start asking the question like, hey, I don't really control the world. I don't run the world. I'm a simple person. I love humans. I love people. I love nature. I just want to get along and work enough that I can live a decent, prosperous lifestyle. But there are other people out there, you'll realize, that don't think like that. And when I started to look into it more, you keep pulling that thread and you keep following it, and then whole doors open up. I would say another influence was that I was always deeply interested in religion and mythology. And if you want to start conspiracy research, there's no better place to start than studying comparative religion and history. And when you get into that, you know, you just start realizing, hey, these are not all separate subjects, you know, history, philosophy, religion, yeah, politics, but yeah, these are all linked together in the end. And when I just, you know what it was? It was a question that kept coming and was never answered. And I just kept looking outside the box, and then I would read a book and I would look, wow, this book is like changing my life. This person's all this information and I don't know how to deal with it. So I would contact the author. This was before podcasts were even popular. And I would just say, hey, you want to come on and talk about your book with me on my Skype, and I'll record it and put it up on YouTube. And sounds some of these familiar guys, they totally would. And so that's what I did. I started just, you know, my dad told me something when I was young. He's like, if you don't know something, find somebody that does. Find the person that knows it. You need to know how to fix your car, how to garden, how to do anything. You might not know, but don't give up on it. Go find the expert and learn from them. So my parents, if they taught me anything, even though they weren't able to be there as much as they wanted to be for the education process, the most valuable thing they taught me was, if you don't know, go find out. And they taught me how to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where I took that. And that's honestly the path that led me to looking at the world in this way. And it's been a never-ending rabbit hole of research. It's still always ongoing. And I'm sure it's never going to end, because there's no shortage of corruption in this world, my friend.
Yeah, it's interesting when you mention the books, and you read a book and then that leads on, you end up with 200 books that you've got through, and it's like your whole your psyche has just gone boom in the space of 2 or 3 years. You can't believe where you were compared to where you are today. It's just such a huge shift. I mean, I found it in about 2012, the end of 2012, I was clicked.
Right.
It was after a big thing in my life. I was a professional sportsman, and that got cut short, and my identity just got ripped away. And I had to then go out into the world, and that's when I picked up a couple of books. And within 12 months, I had read the Quran, the Bible, Torah. I'd read them all, and it was like, well, I've never picked up a book in my entire life before this happened. So it was like the part of the hero's journey.
Right.
And I think when people look back on their lives, they have those moments where they think the worst of the worst, you know, the situation is horrendous. And in reality, it's the best thing that ever happens to them.
It is. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm so glad. And I'm even glad for the books that I read that I no longer side with the arguments that were made or I've changed. I'm grateful for every piece of information I've come across and every person that I can tell has come with a good intention to try to help me learn something. I am eternally in debt to those great teachers and mentors that I've had, whether they be people from the past that are dead and gone or whether they're people still living. You know, there's so much, there's an archive of knowledge that's out there, but it takes certain kinds of people to go and look into it. And it takes people that are dedicated and that actually care about it. You have to care about the subject. The reason you probably sat down and read all of those books, because I mean, if you go from not reading anything to suddenly reading some very ancient religious material, you know, something must have driven you, a curiosity of sorts. And if you follow that curiosity, then it leads you somewhere. And you're now on a journey that you just fell into a rabbit hole. You're on a boat that you don't even know where it's going yet. But that's where I feel like a little bit of faith comes in, where you go, all right, well, I'm going to follow this because I'm following my curiosity. I'm following the questions that I have. I'm following my passions. I'm following my interests, as opposed to just following the dictates of everybody else around me, the expectations placed upon me. And what's the old saying? You know, you come in here as an individual. You come in here as a unique individual. Don't leave just being a carbon copy of everybody else.
A collective.
And so those were the statements that made me go, you know what? This journey's worth it. The social ostracization, the side comments and jokes, the ridicule, all that stuff. It's all worth it because you realize that you're getting that flack from people that don't have the courage to do what you're doing. They just don't. They don't have the courage to step out and think for themselves, to question what they've been told, to try to see the world a little bit differently. And we all know that everything that has been invented, whether it be in philosophy, in art, literature, music, politics, finance, science, inventions, it all came from maverick thinkers. It all came from people that were brave enough to step outside of the herd and say, hold on a second, I think there's a better way, or I think there's a different way of seeing things. And it's those are the people that I respect and admire. I don't respect the people that are just another carbon copy of some collective somewhere. I like looking for people that are truly love this information. They have a relationship with knowledge. They're not in it just to have people cheer for them. Go, oh, look how smart that person is and look how many credentials they have. I don't care about credentials. I'm not shy of talking about the fact that I don't have any university degrees or anything like that. I actually believe that this gives me an advantage because everybody's in those degree systems and all of those, you know, social accolade systems. They're stuck in one way of thinking and they're continuing that way of thinking because they're getting all of this attention and worship for the status that they've achieved. Nobody wants to step down from that. Mm. Whereas the true free thinker is guided by their reason and guided by their curiosity and guided by a desire to have a relationship with knowledge. And there's a difference there. And so those are the people I listen to and those are the people that I respect and admire. And those are the people that I aspire to be like in my own life.
Yeah. I think it was, I might be incorrect, but I think it was Helena Blavatsky who said, be careful of knowledge without wisdom.
Yeah.
Without spirit. And I think the world is full of that at the moment, absolutely full of it. You get PhDs, who one of my mentors, Paul Check, he calls it pile higher and deeper.
And I love Paul Check, by the way. I had him on the show.
Oh, he's a genius. Yeah, I listened to that. Yeah. I did one of his holistic lifestyle coach courses not a while back. Yeah, great guy, yeah. But I couldn't agree more with that, to be fair, yeah. I mean, we've got the schooling system at the moment. You mentioned there a couple of times, like the collective mindset. It just seems poisonous at the moment. Well, forever really, but at this moment in time, it just seems absolutely poisonous what's going on. I've heard you talk yesterday with Michael about China. Can you expand a little bit about your thoughts on, I don't want to call them the enemy, But what's been going on, there's a lot of responsibility that needs to be put over that part of the world. Can you expand a little bit on that?
Yeah, wow, that's a big, that's a subject. It's, you know, what I started with when I was looking at that was I look to history, because history is there as an archive for us to learn from. Even in your own history, you look back at mistakes you've made and you go, oh, well, when I did it like that, I made a mistake, so therefore I'm not going to do that again. And so we have our history available to us. As debatable as many of the elements of history are, there are still things that you can validate and you can prove and you can learn from, and you can start to notice patterns of behavior. You can start to notice, you know, just an entire, even as Michael was breaking down in that show you referenced, he was breaking down how the entire psychology of a nation was hijacked. Because remember, if you go back in Chinese history, I have nothing but great respect and admiration for Chinese history, an amazing ancient civilization of brilliance. There's brilliance that's come out of there. And some of my greatest heroes in the martial arts come from China and Chinese culture. And many of them left there to come here because, like people like Bruce Lee, because they didn't want to be held down by the giant boot of the Chinese government, because that's something totally different, right? And they wanted to come into a free country so that they could express martial arts. And actually Bruce Lee's story really bears a lot on this whole account, as someone who came from Chinese philosophy and Chinese tradition and then came over to the West and then studied Western philosophy, Western history, Western tradition, and then tried to blend it together. He was trying to let two giant civilizations meet and share and do the real sharing that countries should do, instead of amalgamating into a big giant Borg-like thing and become all each other and there's no differential anymore. It's about bringing two great things together and sharing. And that's what he wanted to do. And he was punished by his own people, his own government, in the martial art world. He was, you know, he had a lot of enemies because they're like, you're sharing secrets with the white man. And, you know, and yet he was like, no, let's bridge the gap. We're all one family under the heavens. And we, you know, he was trying to think bigger. And there's many other people that I could bring up, you know, from China that I admire, and many elements of the culture and the traditions and the philosophies that are just amazing and they're beautiful. So I want to put that on the record first and remember that all of us are human beings that are under direction. We live under the direction of experts and under the direction of governments and under the direction of people who steer the ship of state and control our destinies economically. And we forget about that. And I think China has forgotten about that in many ways. And it's incredible to me that in this day and age, they have their brainwashing techniques over there have been so successful on those people that they've been able to quell virtually almost all of the protests. I mean, there was recently protests. There's old documentaries about the protests in Hong Kong that were happening right before this outbreak that are not happening anymore. So there's always that. But there's no First Amendment in China. You don't have rights in China. No. It's run by the CCP, a communist dictatorship. So when you realize, okay, currently this is where China's at today, how did China get here? How did China get from one of the greatest civilizations in history to, and all the inventions that they have brought to the world and all, how did they get from that to complete and total totalitarian control? And that's going to have to bring us back to the area of people like Mao Zedong and the Great Leap Forward and all of that. Because just like in the West, where we sent all of our good and our good gene pool, our good, strong, bright-eyed men and women to war, 99% men, of course, to be killed, to be slaughtered. You remember that, who takes over it from there? If you send all of your best people out to fight some war that is probably orchestrated from somewhere else and is not about what they're saying it's about, and you've just lost your best and brightest, well, then whatever's left has to make up the rest of your civilization. We've seen this pattern in China as well. Countless millions of people were starved, murdered, tortured, imprisoned, and ultimately, and I'm talking during Mao Zedong's Great Leap Forward. And I think that that was something that China never fully recovered from. And the ideas and the, you know, they still worship Mao Zedong over there to this day. That's how thick the brainwashing is.
Yeah.
So when I see China right now, I see, just as we have our version of that in the West, there's different versions of this control system and how it works to control the masses on behalf of those who want to control the masses for their own benefit. There's systems that are played in different countries with different demographics because not all peoples think the same way. Not all peoples have the same history. So there has to be a sort of a tailored version for the way that we control the Chinese population, the way we control the Western population, the way we control, you know. So the program that's been running in China has been built over hundreds of years, if not thousands. There's been the takeover there started with a corruption of the monasteries and the Buddhist influence and the merging of religions and the destruction of true thinkers and people that were deep philosophers. You know, they started moving towards materialism, and, you know, always still celebrating that collective identity. And the governments over there have played this collective, we're all a family, we're all one thing with them for eons. And it ended up bringing out one of the worst brands of totalitarianism that we've ever seen in the world. What Mao Zedong did during the Great Leap Forward and through his reign, it makes Stalin and Hitler look like kindergartners, yeah. You know? Yeah. And so we got to remember that that is a history that I don't think they've recovered from. And the current regimes that are there have, you know, they've tailored, they've updated, like Hong Kong is a more of a westernized capitalistic city. It's different. But it still has its drawbacks. But the CCP in general, I mean, there could be whole podcasts done on that, but just to sort of summarize it, we're talking about a government that cannot be trusted, has been caught lying endlessly, has been caught planting agents around the world. I just finished getting off a podcast where I was covering how there were two Chinese spies colluding with professors in the U.S. and that were embedding themselves into different establishments and government agencies and actually stealing data, information, and even smuggling biomaterial from the U.S. And virus material and all this kind of stuff from the U.S., from Canada into China. And this is on, you can go to the FBI's website and read about it. And on the FBI's website, they actually go right out and say, China is the biggest threat to our security and the security of the world, because they have a policy, the government that is, of wanting to be the world superpower. Yeah. They are playing the geopolitical Olympics to win the gold. And so they've also had a lot of financing from some very interesting people and organizations that we can get into. They've been propped up, just as many of these regimes are always propped up from behind the scenes. And so there's a relationship between the people that run the Chinese government and the Communist International, as I like to call them, whereas you could just call them the cabal, you could call them the deep state, you could call them the Illuminati, you could call them whatever name you want to give, doesn't matter. We're talking about a bunch of people who believe they have the divine right of kings and who want a total global authority, you know? And so when you have people like Zbigniew Brzezinski and George Soros praising China for decades and decades and saying China is now the new example for the world order, the new world order, the new government, the global government scenario that we want to upgrade it, because they have to keep, they've already got you locked down mentally. They've already got you under control, but they want to update it just the way, same way you update your iPhone. They're like, okay, this is going to be the new version of the way the world powers are going to be set up. We don't want any independent actors. We don't want sovereign nations. So that therefore we have to demolish the idea of cultural identity and patriotism and religion, you know, having religious ties to your local churches and traditional values, and make sure the kids are all criticizing all the old people. You know, this whole thing that has been starting in the West for the last, you know, 60 years, that has already been done in China. That already was, they were successful in China. And then when this virus broke, you got to look at the response that the Chinese government had to the virus, which was totalitarian lockdown, complete lockdown. That's how they dealt with it. And then they lied, and they've been out, it's all coming out in the mainstream. They've been caught lying with the numbers and massaging the numbers. We've just found out that Tedros, whatever his name is, the leader of the World Health Organization, he actually got voted in to be the director of the World Health Organization purely off of the vote from the Chinese government in 2017.
Wow.
So he's got money. Yeah, he's been funded by them. you should see the pictures of him all over, hugging, shaking the hands. Just listen to the live streams he did right from January all the way up to the present. Every second word is China's the best. China's the example to follow. China's the new model. I can't believe how amazing China is. We're like, dude, just give us some information about the virus. He's like, yeah, but China, we got it. They're amazing. And you're like, okay, relax with praising the totalitarian CCP. And so, I mean, I'm just kind of sketching the surface here for people. But you know, if you just, you can't trust communist dictatorships. Like, I don't know, like, can you give me an example of where I could be wrong with that precedent? Like, there's not an example of where you can trust these governments as far as you can throw them, especially when it comes to China. And so I have a lot of empathy for the Chinese people, but at the same time, I'm like, well, why haven't you overthrown your own government? That was the point Michael was trying to make yesterday. He's like, come on, guys, this is what we did in America. And you guys idolize America and you're all protesting in Hong Kong with pictures of Donald Trump and all that. Yeah. Well, do it there. That's the solution. But there, see, you got to understand, they've gone through layers of mind control and propaganda for centuries, just like we have, it just in a different way. And so I have that empathy for sure. But here we are, the Chinese government and many other agents behind them, they're just a finger on the glove of what's really moving things in the world. But they're a very important one. And we have to be careful. And there's a good, if people want to catch up on it, there's a good documentary. It was just released by the Epoch Times. It's about an hour and a half on the, they investigate this, the release of the virus with the background of the kind of the people that the Chinese scientists and doctors that got arrested that we've never heard from since they started trying to do videos to try to warn people and tell people what's going on. And, you know, there's been all kinds of things. They've definitely fudged the numbers of what happened. It's just an absolute mess. And yet the people whom our governments are now getting their information from, such as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, et cetera, the George Soros, you know, on and on we could go. They're all coming from the stance of supporting the Chinese dictatorships and that mode of operation where they're like, you just had admissions from people like Gates who's saying, you know what, guys, this lockdown is the new normal until you're all widely vaccinated.
Yeah, what a joke.
And then who else said that? Oh, the UN chief just came out and said the same thing. The vaccine is about trust. And you need to trust us and we need to trust science and stop supporting these outrageous conspiracy theories and la, 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 la. And then who comes out? Oh, then Justin Trudeau, my prime minister, comes on and goes, guys, we've just crossed a Rubicon and it looks like this is the new normal in Canada until the vaccine is developed. And then the Australian prime minister and on we go. And you go, who do these guys get their marching orders from? Who writes the scripts for these people? They're getting advice from people that shake hands and trade money behind the scenes with the Chinese communist government. And the people that lead these organizations, such as World Health Organization guy, CN director, or UN director, they all come from organizations like the Socialist International, the Marxist, whatever. Like, it's just, if you go to this all official history of these people, and they're in the top seats, all right? And they've also been wrong in their what they've been saying. So now you saw Trump just come out and say, we're cutting funding from the World Health Organization because you guys mismanaged this thing every way possible. No president has ever gone and done that. No president has ever gone to the United Nations and went, yeah, we're not doing any of your things. We're going to be a national, we're never going to be socialist. Screw off. We're not doing your global pacts. We're not paying him billions of dollars a year. You guys are failing. We can run our own thing. No one's ever done this. So there's a battle happening. There's a war happening right now. It's a covert war. That is happening globally. Everybody's worried about the virus, you know, one hand doing one thing, other hand doing something else. But the real thing is when they come out and say, you know what, this coronavirus is a good opportunity for us to set up a world government. When they say those words to you, word for word, you got to start questioning it. And then I expect an apology to all the people that told me I was crazy for so many years for saying
that. We had an ex-politician here. I can't remember his name. He was the guy who sold all our gold, the United Kingdom's gold, back in 2007-08. But this was early March. I think he said, we need one government, one world government to sort this problem out. That's the only way we're going to sort this out. This is the same clown that sold gold, rock bottom price.
Was this Gordon Brown you're talking about?
Gordon Brown, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolute tool.
Little shit, eh?
Yeah. What a fool. Man, but it's full of them. I mean, I don't know what it's like over there, but we've got neighbours snitching on each other. If we're going for a run, you're looking around because you're worried that people are looking, going to stitch up to the police. You walk your dog and there's police walking the streets looking for you, walking the dog. I'd never have thought this was, I've studied a hell of a lot, but I'd never thought it was going to actually happen on my road.
Yeah.
I know.
It's crazy what you're saying about the snitches. I was just talking about this article. This just came out. Manitoba is one of our provinces, and in Winnipeg, and I've just found out it's other places as well. They're creating community ambassadors who are watching for rule breakers in city parks and beaches. And they're basically, this is a new team of city workers that are being deployed in the parks in an effort to help flatten the curve. And city officials say their primary goal is just to educate the public, but fines for people who are still not getting the message will be on the way. And it was in Ontario, another province, where a father was just out rollerblading with his two sons, and he got slapped with an $880 fine for rollerblading with his two sons. And he was reported by his neighbor to the police, who I'm sure he used to trust. And
yeah,
this is the ultimate situation where they realize, okay, this is the Trojan horse scenario. This is how you do strategy in combat. If you don't have to fight the enemy directly, or you don't have to achieve your aim directly, it's better for you to do it where you get the population to do it for you. So if you can get all the sheep out there to police all the other sheep, then the farmer doesn't have to work as much. And the objective is still obtained, and it's a much more effective way of doing things. So they're getting us used to a precedent of reporting your neighbor to Big Brother. This is George Orwell's 1984. Yeah. I hope that was one of the books you've read, my friend.
Yeah.
I've been reading it again just to get a refresher course. I've also been reading Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, which is another schlonker to read right now. And just to get to some perspective that, guys, these books were not meant to be a manual for how we create society. They were meant to be a warning.
Mm. Yeah. We had mentioning Orwell. I went to see David Icke. I've seen him a few times now. Did you catch his, there's been a big uproar over here with his interview.
Yeah. He was on London Real, wasn't it? And then took him down.
Yeah. Within an hour he was took down. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got a lot of respect for David Icke, to be fair. I don't agree with a lot of what he says, but I've got a lot of respect for what the guy's doing.
Oh, so do I. I've been to like six of his events. I met him in person. I've read a lot of his books, and yeah, I've got my differences, but at the same time, when you have somebody going up there to say things that we're all thinking and just presenting all the research on a very prestigious podcast, London Real, and who even the guy running it is like, look, I just want to hear what you have to say. And we still have free speech, right? And then they get shut down. I just keep saying, okay, when you see that stuff, because everybody's getting censored, even doctors that are all accredited that are coming out and telling you, hey, we don't need to do this. Just take hope in the fact, just know that the more that this system operates like that, the more that your governments and the media and the social media types start censoring these people, the more they're doing damage to their own cause. The one thing we said yesterday in the stream, it's a quote from Michael he's used for years, is the evil has within it the seeds of its own destruction.
Yeah.
And that's what he means, is that just keep letting these people act like this. Don't be afraid of it. Just go, just laugh at it. Go like this. Like I tried to post it was a funny meme. It showed a picture of Hitler smiling. And it's like, if you're the one out there reporting your neighbors and your friends and your family, you did the Reich thing. And it's a joke. It's a joke. Like, are we allowed to joke? And then I got slapped with a 60-day ban from posting on my Facebook page by the Facebook police. So I'm in quarantine within quarantine for trying to lighten the goddamn mood and actually make a point that, that's what we're reminding you about history. Like, that's what they did in those places, in the Soviet Union, the snitch lines, the brown shirts in Germany, getting the youth involved. This has been done before. They're just trying to do it on a global level and you know what? I think they're desperate, man. I think they're desperate. I think that's why they're going so hard, so fast. Bringing drones in and flying drones around telling people keep social distancing or don't. And it's like, are you guys okay? So all the dunces that never read a book in their life are going to go for it. But anybody that's got two brain cells left is going to be like, okay, this is a bit much. No. And the more they keep doing this, the more they're exposing themselves and the more people are waking up. And I don't know if you saw this new documentary that just came out. It's called Out of Shadows.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
And it's about, yeah. And it's about the, it's done by some Christian guy or whatever, but whatever, it's good for him. The main point of the thing is that they're exposing what's going on in Hollywood and in the media that people don't know about. And what they present in that documentary is irrefutable and undeniable. It's right there. It's documented heavily and it's shocking, man. And it got over 5-6 million views in the first 3 days. And now I hear they're trying to censor that, but you censored it a little bit too late. And now people know. And the more you take the David Icke's off the air and the take my podcast off the air and take those documentaries off the air, the more people are going to go, you know what? I'm sick of this nonsense. I'm going to go listen to those guys. And I'll go to the underground, offline, dark web to watch it if I need to, because I want the truth. And so these people are the worst advertisement for themselves. Just stay out of their way. Let them fall on their own sword. They're doing a fantastic job spoiling their own plan right now.
Yeah, completely agree. Do you think that the average level of consciousness of people at the moment, though, is so destroyed, psychologically weak and bankrupt, that anything that's fed to them, they just absorb like a fly around shit?
That's a good analysis. A lot of people are like a fly around shit. Absolutely. I see it. Makes me want to grab him by the shoulders and shake him. But you know what? That's not my job. The truth doesn't need to be defended, man. I say it to the best that I can. I provide this information for people that are willing to listen. I believe in the free market of ideas. So I don't censor people I disagree with or force people to listen to my opinion. In fact, if you watch any of my podcasts, most of me in the beginning is always giving the disclaimer. I'm not an expert. Don't just trust what I'm saying. Research it for yourself. I wish the media did that, but they don't really do that. But you know, I think what's going to happen, Alex, is, in my opinion, what I see happening is we're seeing the separation between the sheep and the wolves right now. We're seeing the separation between the people that there's a reason people want the control. And that was a point that Michael was trying to bring on yesterday. Point our finger up the hill at all these tyrants that want their control. They'll never go away. They've always been with us. They will always be with us. Okay. Just like bacteria has always been with us. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but what you have to realize is that when we look at how, what happened to China, what's happened to the West, what's happened to other places, people want freedom from freedom deep down. It's a psychological fact. And what you need to do, and that's just the basic settings of your mind, because we've been, think of our genetic history and the phylogenetic race memory and the history of our ancestors. We were raised and groomed as serfs and slaves for the vast majority of human history. It was only a very recent moment and glimmer of hope in human history where we suddenly started going, you know what? Kind of sick and tired of getting on my knees in front of these kings and queens who declare prima nocta at my wedding or whatever the hell. And I'm sick and tired of this. So I want to live for myself and find my own destiny and have freedom. And I, you know what? If a mob of people tries to force me to do something I don't want to do, I should be able to say no. I should be able to still be myself as an individual. This was a new idea and it only happened in the West. It only happened here. Mm-hmm. And it's because of our unique demographic. It's because of our unique weather patterns, where we suffer a very harsh winter every year. So we had a lesson in our history of a delayed gratification and saving for future time. And there's always been a culture in the West of allowing an individual to even exist. And then we've also had a history of trying to suppress that. But all that to say, we've come to this point where there was a moment in history where we said, okay, we're going to start forming governments that are going to allow an individual to have their own rights, their own freedom of thought, their own freedom of movement, their own freedom of speech, their own freedom to defend themselves. The right to private property was also a very unique thing and is very recent development in history. Mm-hmm. The only people that had rights to private property in the past were the aristocracy and the priest class. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we even had it, and now the young people are being brainwashed in schools here in Western countries to give that up on a silver platter. And all of that was taking place right before this virus hit. And now we're getting the big solution coming in as, totalitarian control. We need a centralized banking system. We need a centralized government. We need to create it under a socialistic communistic model. We need to, we don't want individual nation states. We don't want free thinkers. We're going to censor everybody. All of this, as I said before, is a tried and true experiment that's been done many, many times. And the global elites, or whoever you want to call it, the spy masters, the dark occultists, whatever, they've seen that the China model works the best, and that's the one that they've selected. And now they're just trying to bring here in the West what they've put in over there, as well as what they've done in places in the Middle East as well. There's a little handshaking going on there. So, you know, a big history. We've unpacked it all on Unslaved for years. Yeah. I've unpacked it the best I can on my Truth Warrior show. Many other people, I think, do even a better job than me. And we have to pay attention to what's happening right now, or it's going back to the Middle Ages, man.
Yeah. What do you think of Trump and what he's doing over there? Because he seems a bit of a maverick. But I have an incongruency, like a two side of the coin, where obviously you don't just people get chosen to be presidents, don't they? They're not elected. So how has he been put up there?
Right.
Because he seems to be making the right noises, but is he?
Right. Very good question. I've thought about this many times. I've watched Trump for, you know, coming from an entrepreneurial background myself, I've watched Trump for years. I've read his book. I've watched him as an entrepreneur, and you know, I've known people that have known him personally and spoken to them, and I watched the whole thing, every speech he gave, the whole media thing. I've been following it very, very closely. And this is something I get from a lot of people that are in the field that I work in, where I differ from them in the fact that I actually support a lot of what Trump is doing. And I do have some faith that he is a maverick. He's not perfect. And there are many things I disagree with, but part of me goes, okay, we have to think about the long game and we have to think about the big picture. When I speak to, say, some anarchists or whatever out there that have this view of the perfect world where everybody was able to rule themselves and we didn't need any government at all, it's hard to talk to them about stages, right? It's hard to say, look, I want as much freedom as we can have too, but you can't go from 0 to 60 in one movement or a civilization will end and it'll be Mad Max, okay? So you kind of have to say, look, we've all been waiting in America for a president to stand up to at the very least, to stand up to a lot of these trade deals, to stand up to China, to stand up to the United Nations and the globalists and the Federal Reserve people and the deep state. We've been waiting for someone to do that. There were little glimmers here and there with certain presidents, but then it would be nothing. Even JFK is not the ponies and rainbows everybody thinks he was. Mm. He just made a few mistakes and that was enough to get him shot in public, okay? One of them being that he wanted to, you know, build a gold-based currency. Yeah. But, you know, when you see Trump, you have to just be grateful for the wins that were there, okay? And we can all have our disagreements or whatever, but just forget, we're all just as good as the information we have. Most of the people that critique Trump haven't watched a goddamn thing he's said or read any of the policies or have tracked it, right? And then I always have a natural suspicion of politicians and people in power and billionaires. I get it. But here's the other thing. In this alternative movement, never forget that it has also been ransacked by Marxist and communist agents for decades, okay? Russia, China, these people, this ideology has leaked into this field like you wouldn't believe. And so there's two reasons why someone might say, oh, well, because Trump is successful and he's a billionaire and all that, he must be in some kind of Illuminati bloodline. There's no way he could have earned his money. There's no way he could have been a legitimate pick. There's no way he could have been someone that came in and totally disrupted the system the way he did. There's no way. It must have been planned. And part of me goes, okay, I can see that because we've had many precedents for it, and I would agree with you on many cases. But do you believe that evil is the only force at work in the world? Do you believe that everybody that has gone out and created a successful enterprise and have prospered from it is naturally evil? Just because they have money and you don't? Is there envy in the statement when people hate Trump automatically? Okay. I'm not saying you could love everything of it. I'm just saying when I hear those critiques, I also hear a lot of little pangs of that same Marxist ideology we're all trying to fight against, which is I'm a victim and my religion is envy. It's the religion of envy and it's the religion of collectivism. And so when you have somebody go up, and even though I wish we could go way faster than what Trump is doing, where we've gotten, where he came in and said, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is crap. We're not doing it. The NAFTA is crap. We're not doing it. We're not doing the migration pact. We're not doing the global. Yeah, we're not going to do the global. We're not going to do mandatory vaccines. Mm. We're not going to do. We're not going with the climate change crap. We're going to do it our own way. We're going to bring our economy back. And then he proved it. And I have people that work in the stock. I know people that work in the stocks. They've even shown me the graph from 2016 all the way up.
Yeah.
He's been right on so many things. Even when he was in his rhetoric and he was making fun of Rosie O'Donnell, there was things that he said on the way. Cause remember, he's also knows how to sell. He knows how to get, he knows how to talk to the American people. So in a weird way, what if just for a second here, what if it's not all bad and doom and gloom and everybody in government is evil and against you and the only solution to it is what? Communes and anarchy? Like, there's got to be something, like there has to be stages towards getting towards what we would all prefer, okay?
Yeah.
So I would say when I have a love-hate relationship with Trump because there's so many things he does that I love and support him for. Many of the critiques against him are fallacious and wrong, and I'd be happy to debate anybody anytime about it. And the things that we could critique him on, I have critiqued him and will continue to, as I would any politician. But the other part of me goes, if he had not made those moves, we would be in a whole different world right now. And I don't know if people understand that. And, you know, some guy just on his YouTube channel or whatever can't change everything, but unfortunately the president of the United States can go in and move some mountains. And even though I know there's still a very entwined deep state, he's got to get rid of Fauci and many of these other creatures around him. He's been slowly working towards it. He got rid of Bolton. He got rid of many other guys. I think he's trying to use strategy and all of that. And I also think he's misguided and misinformed by some of the people around him. But I got to say, I genuinely believe that Trump's heart is in the right place. I genuinely believe that. And I mean, people can disagree with me if they want, but I have my reasons for believing that. I'm not just believing that for just randomly. I've put the time in. Let me tell you, I do this full time. Most people work full time jobs, catch a couple podcasts, watch a couple headlines, and then they make their opinion. I do this full time every day, all day. And so my opinion at the very least will be an educated one. And history is starting to prove this side right, in the sense that I'm not saying trust in Trump. He's the new savior, Jesus Christ icon. We should all worship. That's not what I'm saying, because I'm against that in any regard. But what I am saying is, thank your lucky stars, the moves that he made and the moves he's continuing to make. And every day right now, he's the only guy that's given the finger to these people that want to lock you in chains. He's the only one. He's the only one. And what happens when that happens is that it inspires other leaders to go, you know what? I do love my country. I did get into politics for a reason of trying to help people. I don't want to be involved in this criminal scum, whatever, that runs things behind the scenes. And they inspire people like that. Love him or hate him, can inspire change towards a better aim, where hopefully one day we can get to a point where we don't even need government. We can all govern ourselves. I want to. But what did Percy Shelley say? Government by itself is a necessary evil until all men are good and wise. And then the government will fall away naturally.
Yeah.
So when everybody grows up and all men are good and wise, then we can talk about having no government in place and no structure. But let's not think for a second that we can just leap from A to Z without causing tremendous, if not catastrophic, damage to our civilization, our society, everything. We can't just go there. We're not prepared for it. The vast majority of people psychologically are not prepared for it. The vast majority of people want freedom from freedom, even though they talk like freedom and they go to the protests and they show up. They're like, yeah, I'm with you, Dave. But then the next breath, they're like completely on the other side of it. And you know, so there's so many dynamics at play. I know it's a long answer, but how could you possibly not have a long answer when someone asks you about Trump?
Yeah, but when you're talking about the psyche there, it's like I can only speak from around me, but it's if it's coming through the television screen, it's like they're stuck in the reptilian. They're not moving. It's just so stuck. And even if you're just trying to flick, even if you try and trigger, as you said earlier, it's not your responsibility. But some of these people have never even spent 30 seconds quiet. They've never been quiet. They need something in their mind all the time to keep them from themselves. I think they hate themselves that much. Without knowing they hate themselves, but this shows up in addictions and traumas keep playing out and this, that, the other. But I sit here and I struggle to I ask myself the question, is that my responsibility to go to them and try? Or do I just leave them to it? Do I let the wolves feed?
That's a good question, man. You're awesome, Alex. I got to say, man, I see a young man like you and you remind me a lot of me in the beginning. And I don't want to talk down. I'm not trying to say like, I'm just saying like, I can tell you have a very sincere heart and you have great questions and that these are the questions that drove me. So kudos to you. And I would just say there's a desire in us to want to help persuade people out of their trance, right? We want to help people wake up. That's the whole desire, right? But there's a fine line, isn't there? Because isn't that what those Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door are trying to do based on what they believe? Isn't that what all these religions are trying to do? Isn't that what these doctors are trying to do, trying to tell you that we have to wait till, or these recommending these solutions are trying to say, we got to do what's best for everybody and we'll force it if we have to. So you get to a point where you go, look, you either believe in freedom or you don't. And even the freedom to allow people to be wrong. Now, the problem is, if you have the vast majority of people brainwashed, like what's happened in China, then you can have a total dictatorship nightmare takeover, and the people that did believe in freedom are all screwed, right? So I get the urgency. But to me, I look at like the Star Trek Prime Directive concept, where you don't interfere with an evolving species. You don't, because you're robbing them of freedom. And if you do that, you'll stunt their growth. That's the concept, right? So I take that as I share information to people. And I will tell you, I do try to drop little bits here and there, but I never start the conversation. This is one of my policies. I never start the conversation about politics or any of these subjects. I wait until I'm addressed. I wait until maybe there's some good timing where I can just inject a little bit. I don't sit there and go, do you know who the CFR is? Have you ever seen the history of Mao Zedong? Like, I don't go into that shit. I just go, hey, did you hear? Some guys were having an illegal campfire the other night, and I better be careful. They might send a drone after me. But anyways, I'll just kick it out of the sky. They were talking about it, and I just kind of said, "Oh, hey, did you guys hear about that? That world renowned biomathematician, PhD, works at all these universities and medically, and he just came out and said that the lockdown that we're doing is actually going to spread this disease even further and keep it around longer. And that there's a better way of doing it. Like I heard this interview and I talk about it like I've just discovered it, because I have. And I'm like, yeah, it's interesting to me. I don't try to make declarative definitive statements. I feel like, remember, you're dealing with the ego at all times in people. And the number one thing people value not being wrong more than they value the truth. Does that make sense? Value, they don't want to be proven wrong. And I know this, I have a unique practice that I do to know this about human beings and about myself, because I teach martial arts and I teach it in a way where I don't teach bullshit. I teach stuff that I can prove it to you. You come from an athletic background, you know that there's a right way to do the techniques of whatever sport you're engaged in, and there's definitely the wrong way. Okay, there's many variations of the right way, but there's still a fine line between the right way and the wrong way. So there's a truth to be discovered. In martial arts, you see people that come in and they're like, oh yeah, I used to be a good street fighter. I could take on anybody. I've choked out black belts, no problem. I'm like, oh, okay, great. Come on. Here, hang with one of my white belts. Let's see how it goes. And they get utterly destroyed. I'm going to say, here's the schedule. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Hope you come back. Hope you can humble yourself to learn this art. And most of those guys don't come back, because you realize they don't really want to learn the true way to become efficient at martial arts or anything else. They just want to be right. They just want to live the fantasy they have in their mind. And that's most people. And that's because most people are leaving through the ego. And the superego more specifically. So you go, okay, if I'm out there talking to people, I realize people don't want the truth. Just know that. People don't want the truth. If they wanted the truth, they would be on your side already, okay? And that's not you being saying, well, I have all the truth. They would be on your side to investigate at least, okay? They might not agree with you, but they'll be on your side to be free to investigate. The fact that they're trying to control the conversation and shout you down every 2 seconds, just repeating news articles they just read 2 seconds ago on Facebook, shows you they don't care about the truth. They want to win the argument. And when you start dealing with that person, it's time to walk away. There's no helping them. There's no saving them. Karma has its own force. Truth doesn't need to be defended. However, what I look for when I'm having conversations with people that I've just met is I'm sitting around and I'm plucking a couple things and then they're saying their thing. And then I might add, well, you know, there's another way of looking at it. Or, oh, I read this book one time that was saying this guy was a CIA guy. And I just keep it casual. And then I look at the person and I can tell somebody that's curious to learn. I can say, oh, this person actually wants to hear about this information they've never heard before. And then I can tell the person that just wants to win. Vast majority of people just want to win, man. And that's just the way it is. It'll never change. But I just try to say, look, I want to find people that are at least open-minded enough to hear a different view. I don't want people to agree with me. I don't want to create a consensus. I don't want to be a cult leader. I've exposed that shit for years and I don't agree with it. But I do believe in teachers and guides. And I do believe that we need to go to those people who are the geniuses and the experts in those fields, truly, the true ones, right? And just learn from them. And so that's how I do it, man. I don't go out and try to recruit everybody into something. I'm a normal guy that's just sitting there talking to somebody and I drop a few things. And then there, you know what? I've had people contact me like a year after I had a conversation with them for the first time. And they've contacted me and say, I didn't get what you were saying then. And I didn't look at it, but then something happened to me. And then I went and finally read that book you were mentioning. And I just want to say thank you. And I couldn't forget what you said. And it stuck with me and it resonated with me. And that's what I'm for. I'm for it being a free choice by the person to suddenly activate that curiosity and connect to a desire to know the truth. And that's the beginning of forming that relationship with knowledge, where it's not about navigating this hierarchy of, well, which experts and the fact checkers and the people, the police and all that. You go, no, it's your own journey of truth, of discovering the truth. And if you're putting blinders on to alternative viewpoints, then you're navigating life with missing information. And you could make a misstep. If you have the wrong information, you'll make a misstep. You'll make a mistake. So I try to come at it with compassion, empathy, just saying, hey, I'm just being here open-minded. Oh, here's a few questions I have, or here's some information I've said. I try to be as much as I can. And then I totally back off if I start seeing I'm just dealing with the ego. This is going nowhere.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good answer. It's something that since I've switched on, I think you sort of go through phases a little bit like, oh, I need to tell everybody, tell the whole world what I know. And I'm learning all this stuff and it's like brain vomiting everywhere and whatever. And then
I know I went through that phase, buddy. Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah. Good. And now it's sort of like I've surrendered to it now. Just like it is what it is. As you say, the truth doesn't need defending. Just let it go.
Well, you got a podcast now, so you're an advantage because you can tell yourself that desire you have to help your fellow man and bring this information out and to inspire people. That's what you want to do, right? Mm. You have a platform now where you'll put it out there and the right people will come across it and you'll take your hits on the chin then when they come. And the people that will message you, I'm sure you get lots of messages too, just like me, of people that thank you and love what you're doing. And even if it's just one person that you can help, that you're doing what you can do. And you're in a position where you can say to people, you know what, and this is what I do. I kind of go, you know what, I don't want to talk about that stuff. I've already talked about this for hours. You can go check out my podcast. I've put my opinion out in public and, you know, for what it's worth, take it or leave it. Let's get back to talking about the weather or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you're like, let's talk about the weather. And they're like, well, what about climate change? And I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, here we go.
Back to it.
Can't escape.
So, Dave, tell me, I know you do a lot of work with Michael. Who are your most revered mentors?
Wow. It's a huge list. I could pin it down. I mean, some of my senseis growing up, I had some fantastic senseis growing up, my karate instructor, reading books by ex-priests who came out and started telling their stories and were trying to look at life in a different way and get out of the dogma. The Bruce Lees, the Ayn Rands, the Nathaniel Brandon, but Michael, I've had Jordan Maxwell on my show many times. I've had like a list, all the people I've had on my show, G. Edward Griffin. I've got just scores of mentors in so many fields, just the great philosophers, the great historians and the Mavericks, you know, Giordano Bruno from the past, and you know, if the Teslas, Nikola Tesla, Walter Russell. My God, I could sit here all day. There's both men and women, people from all backgrounds, different Buddhist teachers that really got it right. And they're a small minority now, but they really had a clear perspective on that way of looking at the world. Taoist teachers, martial arts instructors, health practitioners. My God, I could sit here the whole show listing off a list of mentors for you. But I would just say, you'll know my mentors by the fact that they are maverick, out of the box, free thinking, free human beings. Those are my mentors.
Beautiful. Right, mate, that's an hour up. That feels like I've had a coaching session there off you.
Oh, thanks, man.
I really enjoyed that, mate. Really have. Thanks a lot for coming on. I'd like to do it again sometime, mate, whenever you're free. Maybe when we're out of lockdown.
Yeah, there's not much else going on, right? I've just been going on podcasts and recording nunchuck videos in my garage. And by the way, I'm trying to be proactive, and I've been doing an at-home training series for people that want to learn martial arts. It's for people that have experience, beginners. I've been putting it up on my Patreon. So for $5 a month, and you can stop that at any time, you get a whole list of at-home training videos that you can do, as well as all my show notes and a lot of the secret, you know, hidden blogs and things that I do.
What's your YouTube channel?
Yeah, I got my YouTube channel. You can just look, if you just go to YouTube and put in Truth Warrior or David Whitehead, you'll find my channel. If you go on my social media, it's at DW Truth Warrior. I do a lot of fun stuff. My main ones are Instagram, my Facebook page, which I'm in Facebook jail right now, so probably Instagram. I do a little bit of Twitter, and then my YouTube and my Patreon, and that's where you can support that. And then for our work with Unslaved, unslaved.com, guys, we have an archive of hundreds of thousands of hours of some of the most brilliant, unique digital content you'll find on the internet. We've interviewed guests. We've featured different people's work. Michael has done his own presentations. I've done my own presentations. We have a basic membership that's $6 a month, no contract, a premium membership that's $12 a month, no contract. And what you get for that is just, it's pays its way in gold. So
unslaved.com
is that site.
I don't want to blow smoke up your ass, but in my opinion, that's the best website I've ever come across.
Oh, like, well, thank you.
I would. The knowledge on there, I've never seen anything like it, to be fair. I know Michael's been at this for decades, and as yourself, but I've never come across knowledge like that and wisdom like that before. So,
well, thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
Oh, thanks a lot for coming on and sharing what you know. It's fascinating stuff. So, thank you very much. Enjoy your day over there. It's night time here, as you can see, the light's going down. So,
yeah, man. Well, hey, listen, Alec, you keep doing what you're doing. I love your show. I'll come on anytime. We're all in this together. And if you got any cool information, send it my way. Hit me up on Facebook. I'd love to collaborate. And I hope everybody continues to tune into your show and support your work, because we need more people like you out there doing these kinds of shows. I know what it takes. So hats off to you, my friend. And thanks for having me on.
Thanks, David. Thanks a lot, buddy. All the best. Thank you.
Cheers, bro.
Bye-bye.